Mentioned last week, just a great big thank you to all of you for supporting our youth and getting to the Worldview Academy camp. All the funds that they needed to get there and back again have been raised, and that means that they're going to be able to get there no problems, and it's an awesome time for them. It's just a wonderful time of biblical teaching and biblical truth and fellowship with other youth, and it's just very much appreciated that you were able to support them in going. Reminder, Family Bible Camp's coming up real fast now. That's happening June 14th through the 18th. And if you haven't already, grab one of those registration forms in back and get that filled out. We were hoping to have all of them turned in today so that we can have a really accurate count of who's going to be there for what meals and who needs to be staying in what cabins and all of that kind of stuff. A lot of planning goes into making sure everything's provided for, and we just want to make sure that you don't get left out. So get one of those registration forms. If you haven't already, get that filled out, and there's a basket you can throw that into back there. Reminder too that there's also a volunteer list on the back bulletin board there for help in the kitchen. Of course, with all the people that we have there, lots of big meals need to be prepared, and we can always use help in the kitchen preparing those meals. So if you haven't already, take a look at that sign-up sheet for the kitchen help on the bulletin board there and see where you can fit in. We are also in need of two counselors for the boys' cabin. We've got all the other volunteer positions filled up, but we need two volunteers for the boys' cabins to stay with them and kind of watch over them. And so if that's something you can, you think you can do, prayerfully consider volunteering for that. We'd be greatly appreciated. And do talk to Jeff or Dan if you think you can help there. Let's see, Vacation Bible School, again, just a reminder that the dates have been set for that. That's going to be happening July 30th through August 3rd, 6:30 till 9 p.m., so that's an evening VBS. And, of course, we always need volunteers for that, too, and that is such a fun time working with these kids. So I hope you can help volunteer, whether you'll be teaching or doing activities, whatever. All kinds of help is needed, so please see Greg if you're able to help out with Vacation Bible School. And just another reminder that those baby bottles are in the back there. There's still a few left. That's the baby bottle drive for Lifeline Pregnancy Center, which, of course, helps ladies with unplanned pregnancies, the men in their lives, and helps to work really, really hard against abortion, preventing abortion right here in Nampa. And so you take one of those baby bottles home, you throw it on your counter and just toss your loose change into it. And on Father's Day is when that drive ends, and we'll pick up those bottles, and that is a huge, huge fundraiser for Lifeline Pregnancy Center. Okay, so just so far as the schedule goes, Lutheran Brethren Youth Fellowship is on as normal at 3:30 today. Tomorrow, a reminder that our membership class will be meeting at the Parsonage at 7 o'clock. That Family Fellowship and Kids Bible Club is happening at 7 o'clock Wednesday, and then our worship service, normal summertime, at 10 o'clock next Sunday. Any announcements that I missed? Oh, that's good. You mean in terms of the cleanup rotation and that kind of stuff? I can't remember who was. You're going to mention that. Perfect. Perfect. Oh, and that brings up one more thing. If you have volunteered as a teacher for camp, I have the lesson outline for you on that. So I'll be sure to have those at the end of the service and get them into your hands. Any others? Great. Well, then let's begin our service today with our call to worship, which comes from Psalm 25, verses 2 to 3. Psalm 25, 2 to 3, and let's read that out loud together. Oh, my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. But now let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. And let's do that with our praise courses this morning. Been in the stacks for years, but I don't think we've ever actually done it together as a congregation. So the melody's pretty simple. I think you'll be able to pick it up pretty fast, but if you don't want to work that hard, just sit and reflect on the words.
Fullness of grace in man's human frailty, this is the wonder of Jesus. Laying aside his power and glory, humbly his entered our world. Choose the path of meanest worth, sandal of love, a virgin birth. Born in a stable, cold and rejected, here has the hope of the world. Fullness of grace, the love of the Father, shown in the face of Jesus. Stooping to
think about His grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
And to finish up this round of singing, we're going to turn to hymn number 35 next. Hymn number 35 is Come, Thou Fount. I'll invite you to please rise as we sing hymn number 35 together.
Come, Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of Thy redeeming love. Here I raise to Thee an altar, hither by Thy help I'm come, and I hope by Thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus, taught me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for Thy courts above.
Amen. You may be seated. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This is a very good thing. And to bring that scripture to us this morning is Dave Bradburn.
Good morning, everybody. This morning I've chosen to read you Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Thank you so much. A beautiful reminder of who we have been recreated to be, you know, and it's a great text for today, especially being this is the part of the church calendar that is called the Day of Pentecost. We've ended the Easter season, and now we, on this day, particularly focus on the giving of the Holy Spirit to all believers. And who but that Holy Spirit is responsible for renewing the mind through the Word of God? And who but that Holy Spirit gives gifts to His believers in accordance to what God calls right and good? So thank you very much for that reading this morning. Ephesians 6 encourages us, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And so we come together and pray alongside each other, and we pray with each other and for each other. And so as we get ready to pray this morning, I'll ask if there are any special prayer requests that we can share together this morning. Okay. That was a special care unit he went into, you said? Yeah. Danny was his name? Yeah. Okay. We'll be in prayer for Danny and hopefully can get him back on his feet again. Thank you. Another example of the just the evil of this world. And we'll certainly be in prayer for those who are being affected and hurt and even killed. Thank you. Great. Good to have you back, and glad to hear it. Sure. Can we know his first name?
Chris.
All right, we'll be in prayer for Chris. Thank you. Best possible news. That's great. 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 Never quite sure how that chemo is going to affect somebody, so praise God that she's doing well with it. Great. Thank you. It sure is. Well put. Thank you. Pentecost is such a beautiful reminder of the lengths God went to save us and preserve us. So thank you. Alrighty. I'm sorry, what was he doing again? Internship. That's it. Perfect. Great learning experience for him. We'll be praying that he stays safe through all that. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. The homeless problem is one that's real easy to not see. And when you finally do encounter the magnitude of the problem, it's astounding. It seems insurmountable, and all of us could use that reminder and that prayer to see what we all can do. Thank you. Okay. That was Ted? Ted Adams. Okay, great. We'll be praying that surgery goes well and does what it should. Thank you. Yes. exciting opportunity. And I can imagine not a little bit scary for a mom. Oh, great. Okay. Oh, nice. Well, it'd be great for her to be around family and be able to do that here. Good, good. We'll be praying for Sophie, too. All right. Well, if there are no others, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise your name for this opportunity to gather together to hear your word and to receive your truth. Lord, we pray, especially on this day when we remember the giving of your Holy Spirit, that you would send this Holy Spirit on this gathering, that you would send it through your word as you have promised. And by that Spirit, we would be taught, we'd be enlightened, and that you would cause us to remember all that Christ has taught us. Our God, we confess to you that we need the power and the working of your Holy Spirit. For within ourselves, we see nothing but sin, nothing but rebellion against you, nothing but a disregard and a rejection of your truth. And so, Lord, we thank you for the work that Christ has done to pay the full price of all that sin in us and to bring us new life in you. Our God, we pray that as we hear your word today, it would speak to us, it would communicate your truth to us, and that in that truth we would remain steadfast. Our God, because of the work Christ has done, you invite us to pray to you and bring our prayers and petitions to you. And so, Lord, we want to bring this praise to you. We praise that Mike has gone through these tests and they've found no cancer in him. And we thank you and praise your name for keeping him safe and healthy through this. And we thank you for the doctors that did these tests and revealed this wonderful news. Lord, we pray for Chris and these brain tumors that he's encountered now. Lord, we pray that you would keep him and guide him during this difficult time of losing function on his left side. Lord, we pray for the radiation that he needs on the second tumor in his brain stem. We pray that through all this you would heal him and bring him back to full health again. Lord, we pray for all those around the world that are currently under the threat of ISIS, that are being hurt by them, displaced by them, and even killed by them. Lord, we pray that you be with all the families of those who have been affected. And Lord, we pray your peace in these regions where the enemy seems so strong. Lord, we pray that even there, your gospel would go forth, transforming lives and changing minds. Lord, we pray for Danny and the care he needs right now. We pray that you'd give the doctors and nurses wisdom and guidance in how to care for him and that you would bring health to him once again. And Lord, we praise your name for the healing that you're accomplishing in Lori. We thank you that the chemotherapy is going well for her and that you're protecting her from the negative side effects. Thank you that she has been able to remain strong and optimistic through all of this. Lord, we pray for Sophie as she's traveling and especially for this move coming up. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities you have given her, not only in her education, but in these clinical times as she continues to learn more and more. We thank you that you were able to pave the road for her to do these back here in the valley and near the family that she loves. Lord, we pray for Ted as he faces this open heart surgery. We pray that that would go well, and that your healing again would be made manifest through it, and that on the other side of this, your name is glorified. Lord, too, we pray for Daniel and his travels to China and the English tutoring that he's doing over there. Lord, we pray that that would be fruitful for him, that you would keep him safe from any danger that might occur there. And as you have promised, that you would protect him. And especially, Lord, that he would be an instrument of your gospel, and that that gospel would go forth even in a country so dark as China. Lord, we pray for the homeless around us. Lord, we confess to you that this problem is something that we often turn a blind eye to, that we come to with a hardened heart. But Lord, we know that you care for them as well, and that you desire that they would be cared for and taken care of. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would open our eyes and open our hearts to this problem in our society and show us ways in which we can help, ways that we can help best, and ways that we can provide help that would be useful and productive. Lord, we pray for Andy and his internship in Virginia right now. We thank you for the safe travels you gave him there, and pray that this internship would be fruitful, that he would learn much, and that he would come back with an even fuller understanding of the work he's looking to do. Lord, we pray for our leaders. So often we see that our presidents, our elected officials do what's right in their own eyes and not right according to your commands. And so, Lord, we pray for wisdom and guidance for them, that they would rule wisely. And Lord, help us in whatever capacity we can to be involved and profitable in the running of this country. Lord, we thank you for the season of Pentecost, this wonderful reminder today that through all who have faith, you have given your Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit that teaches us through your word, that Holy Spirit that guides us and protects us, that tutors us, that comforts us. Lord, we pray that the presence of that Spirit would ever be known to us, and its working in our lives would be made clear, and those workings that do not come from the Spirit would be rejected by each and every one of us. Lord, we remember Scott Allen in our prayers right now. We pray for continued strength and wellness during this chemotherapy he's going through. Lord, we pray that his battles with cancer would be fruitful. Lord, that the treatments he is receiving would do more good than harm. And Lord, we especially pray that you be with his family as they watch him go through this and seek to minister to him. Lord, we continue to pray for Doris in her weakness and her healing. Lord, we pray that you give her strength and comfort during this time. Same thing for Tina, Lord. We pray that you would continue to heal her back to full strength again. We thank you for the wonderful healing you've already done in her as well. And Lord, we pray for Charles and his battles with cancer. And I pray that you would give his family guidance in caring for him as well. Lord, we remember Larry and his many struggles with health, and pray that you would strengthen him and encourage him. Same for Erin, Lord. We pray that you would give her strength and full healing. Lord, we pray for all of those around us that we know and love that are sick, that are not able to be with us today, and we just pray that you would be with them, that you would heal them and bring them back to full health again as well. Lord, we pray for this church and the ministries that you have given it. We pray for wisdom and for perseverance in all that we do to proclaim your perfect word to the world. Lord, we pray that you would give us strength and conviction and courage to be the ones who bring your gospel to this corner of the earth. Lord God, we pray all these prayers, and we even bring these prayers that we have not put to words, those prayers that are silent and on our hearts. We bring them all to you and thanking you that you are hearing and answering each and every one of these prayers. For we pray these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. God is the King of all the earth, Scripture says. Sing praises with a skillful psalm, namely, hymn number 85. I'll invite you to turn with me to hymn number 85 in your hymnals, and please rise as we sing this hymn together. Spirit came at Pentecost. He came in mighty fullness then. His witness through believers won the lost, and multitudes were born again. The early Christians scattered o'er the world. They preached the gospel fearlessly. Though some were martyred and to lions hurled, they marched in victory. Come, Holy Spirit, dark is the hour. We need your filling, your love and your mighty power. Darkness gripped the earth. The just shall live by faith was learned. The Holy Spirit gave the church new birth as Reformation fires again. In later years, the great revivals came when saints would seek the Lord and pray. Oh, once again we need that holy flame to meet the challenge of today. Come, Holy Spirit, dark is the hour. We need your filling, your love and your mighty power. Among us, stir us, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, revive the church today. Revive the church today. Revive the church today. Thank you for your singing. You may be seated. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Or should I say, let the little children come to Greg for our children's lesson this morning.
And don't make the confusion of That's Jesus right. and me. But if you parents would let your kids come forward, come on up. We can sit in these first two rows. You know, everybody's welcome to come up and sit in the first two rows if you want to. If you have little ones that might need you to come with them, you're welcome to. If you have little ones that give you an excuse to come up, then you can do that too. All right. Well, we fit in the front row today. That's all right. I know we've got a few people sick and a few people on vacation. this summer, I'm going to be doing some object lessons on verses that we've already memorized. This one is one we did in Kids Bible Club. Do you guys know? Do you know what Philippians 4:13 is? Philippians 4:13. You can't hide, don't hide your face. Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Now, have you thought about what that means? I can do everything through him that gives me strength. Who is the him? Who's him? Who gives us strength? God. Now, do you know how strong God is? Whoa. Now, I was thinking, I've been memorizing that verse. We've been saying that verse for a long time. So, man, God is so strong. I should have muscles like a superhero. I should. But I'm still, you know, I mean, these are gigantic weights. And I can lift this baby still about 6 times. And this one I can do about 3 times. And sometimes I can almost lift that one off the ground. And I was thinking, well, I need to be stronger than that, because Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And I started thinking, well, maybe I need to help God out a little bit. Right? Right, so, you know, I thought maybe I would add a muscle. I should have done this sooner. Oh. Kinsley, come here for a second. Come here for a second. All right, just come stand right here. Stand right here. Can you lift that red one up for me? Because I don't want to hurt my back, because it's kind of heavy. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, wait. I'm... I'm going to get... Can you guys believe how strong I am? 5! But, oh, don't leave, Kinsley. 6! Oh, I'm going to get my record. My record. Kinsley, can you grab that? Help me just a little. 7! Take it. Grab it and set it on the ground for me. Careful, it's really heavy. Wow, that verse is right. I am stronger. Oh, you know, maybe I bet you I need more muscles. Ben, hold this for me for a second. Thanks, Ben. I thought I turned it off. Okay. I'm going to try number 10. I've only been able to do it 3 times. Maybe I can get it 4. Solomon, can you help me? Okay. All right. Can you lift up that yellow one for me? Whoa, good job. You're strong. Thank you. Oh, my. This is maybe... Maybe I'm not helping God enough. Let me help him a little bit more. Can you hold that for me? Just hold it right there. Can you hold it for just a second? Can you hold it?
Not his job.
Man, you're strong.
Okay. Can you count with me? I need to try to get 4. Thank you, Solomon. You know what? You are? I think I might be making a mistake. I'm pretty sure that no matter what size of muscles I put in, it's not supposed to be me helping God. I don't think that I'm supposed to be helping God. Do you agree with that? You know, because I told you I can't even lift that number 15 off the ground. And I thought that would be enough.
Yeah.
It'll just rip my shirt.
Yeah.
No kidding. You know, let's be honest. I don't think that verse is saying that at all. I don't think that verse is saying I need to be strong like a superhero. Now, could God make me strong like a superhero if he wanted to? Let's pretend that God performed a great big miracle and he could make me as strong as a superhero. He could, right? But that's not what this verse is. It kind of sounds like that Paul might be bragging about his own strength. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. But is Paul bragging about himself? No, who is Paul giving credit to there? Who? Yes, to Jesus, to our relationship with God the Father, right?
Yeah.
See, what we need to have strength in everything is to be content in every condition. Now, what kind of conditions do we find ourselves in life? Sometimes we are mad. Do we need God to help us when we're mad? Yes, what other conditions we find ourselves in? What? Happy? In happiness. Do we need God to give us strength when we're happy? Yes. What else? What other conditions do we find ourselves in? Sad. Mad. Happy. Sad. Do we need God to help us when we're sad?
No.
Yes. Bored? Yes.
Oh, I don't get mad at God.
We don't get mad at God. No. When we give our lives to God and we are content to let him lead and guide us in every condition, then that's when God is providing us the strength we need. And we know ultimately, what has God provided for us? What has God given us that's most important? Eli? A life? What kind of life? Why do we have the life? Why do we have the life that we have as Christians? How? It's not magic. The most important thing is that God has provided us a way to get to heaven. He's provided us a way to have forgiveness for our sins. That is a strength that we cannot have on our own. Ever. Ever, 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 no matter how big our muscles are. Daniel is a man who demonstrated being content with God. Daniel was in a pagan nation. What's a pagan nation? It's a nation where they had false gods. Daniel was one of the 3 administrators. And underneath them, they were in charge of 120 satraps. I don't really know what that is, but that's the term they used in Babylon. And they ran the country. Well, guess what? Two administrators and 120 satraps wanted to get Daniel in trouble. They wanted to get rid of Daniel. So let's see, what's 2 plus 120? It's not 4, it's more than 4. 100, listen to this, 122 people were out to get Daniel.
What?
I know! 122 people were trying to find every naughty thing that Daniel did. If he lied, if he cheated, if he stole. But they couldn't. You know what they learned? They said, the only thing that we will ever find wrong with Daniel is if it has to do with the law of his God. Do you know why? Because Daniel followed God in all that he did. He prayed 3 times a day because he loved his God. And the people that saw him recognized that in him. That's a wonderful thing to have. People recognize Daniel's relationship with God every single day by what he did. He loved God so much that his actions demonstrated that he had a relationship with God. And Daniel was, the king was tricked into signing a fancy piece of paper that said, if you bow down to anybody but the king, you are going to get thrown into a lion's den. Well, Daniel, he must have been scared, right? Must have been scared. He must have stopped praying. Did Daniel stop praying to God because of that? No. No. Because he was not afraid of other people. He was more afraid of God, the God that he loved. Did Daniel stop praying? No. How many times did he pray a day? How many times did he pray a day after they made that rule? What happened to Daniel? Thrown into the lion's den, didn't he? And we know the end of that story, don't we? Did anything happen to Daniel? No. God closed the mouths of the lions. Even though 122 people were after Daniel, he refused to stop using God as his strength. Daniel didn't do it because it was his mighty muscles. That was not right. If I'm really doing that, that's wrong, because I can't help God, and it's dangerous if I try to help God, because I'm not saved by what I do. I'm only saved by what Jesus does. So think about that. The next time you have 122 people after you, trying to get you in trouble, trying to find out if you ever lie or cheat or steal, you remember that, who do you put your trust in? In God. He's the one who gives us our strength. You know what? If you have one person after you, is it any different?
No.
We want to trust in God in all circumstances. When we're mad, when we're happy, when we're sad, or even when we're bored. That's the way to do it. All right. Thank you guys for coming up here with the kids' story with me. You can go sit with your mommy and daddy.
Thanks, Greg. And it makes me want to do children's church all morning long. That's so much fun. First Chronicles 29:14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. With those words, let us worship God with the giving of our offerings. Let us pray. Lord God, we confess to you that all we have is a gift from you. And we thank you for providing for us so well. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to give to the work of your church. And we pray, Lord, that you would accept these gifts, that you would multiply them and help us to use them as you would have them used. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And there's certainly nothing to be ashamed of in our scripture reading from the epistles today, which today comes from Acts. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. And you might recognize that as the account of that first Pentecost after Jesus had ascended to the Father and gave the Holy Spirit. So this is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. The first account, no, I'm sorry, that was chapter 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own tongues, speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were mocking and saying, they are full of sweet wine. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what it was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it says, in the last days, God says, And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bondslaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Well, with that, let us do what Psalm 81 encourages us to do. Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout joyfully to the God of Jacob. And so we'll do just that with our next hymn, hymn number 93, which is The Comforter Has Come, hymn number 93. I'll invite you to please rise again as we sing this hymn together.
Oh, spread the tidings.
I invite you to please remain standing as we turn to God's Word next in John chapter 7. And it's a short one today, John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. I'll give you a moment to find that. John 7, 37 to 39. And this will be Jesus teaching on one aspect of the Holy Spirit. So this is John 7, 37 to 39. Reading in Jesus' name. Now on the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. There are people who are tempted to accuse Lutherans of having a very low view of the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't think he's all that important, that we deny the Holy Spirit's active participation in our lives. I don't even hear them say that we're not as filled with the Holy Spirit as other Christians, whatever that might mean. I say baloney. That accusation only flies because we're not willing to ascribe things to the Holy Spirit that Scripture doesn't say are so. And we don't have to. We don't have to go coming up with new ways for the Holy Spirit to work. Because according to Scripture, the work of the Holy Spirit is amazing. We don't need to invent new ways for the Holy Spirit to work in order to be awed by what Scripture says the Holy Spirit does for us. And so, because, again, the Easter season's over and Pentecost season has begun, we're going to spend some time looking at one, just one, of the amazing things that the Holy Spirit does to and in us. But before we get to that, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about some of the other things that Scripture says the Holy Spirit does. And first things first, he is a person in our triune God. He's a person. And this is important to remember because language and society being what they are, it can get to be a temptation for us to think of the word spirit and start diminishing the Holy Spirit down to some kind of spiritual force or some kind of power sent to us by God. But no, the Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity. Just as much as God the Father is a person of the Trinity, God the Son is a person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity. Now, the next thing is that the Holy Spirit wasn't first given, or rather, the Holy Spirit didn't only come into being at the first Pentecost after Jesus was ascended. That's not the first time the Holy Spirit was active and working among men. The Old Testament is peppered throughout with the workings of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is rather the moment that Jesus began to give the Holy Spirit indiscriminately to all believers. That brings me to the next work of the Holy Spirit, the author of Scripture. There was not one little iota of Scripture written that didn't come about as a direct working of the Holy Spirit. Scripture is the very word of God, breathed into the ones who wrote Scripture by the Holy Spirit himself. And because of the perfect unity between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit caused nothing to be written that wasn't also the very word of the Father and of the Son. And another thing that Jesus says the Holy Spirit will do is bring remembrance of everything that Jesus has taught us. Now, to go hand in hand with that, the Holy Spirit also acts as our teacher. Every time you open your Bible to read it, the Holy Spirit is there helping you to understand and know what it is God is teaching you through Scripture. Then when that Bible is closed and you go about your day, that same Holy Spirit is helping bring to mind everything that he has already taught you from Scripture. Now, he's not going to teach you new things. He's not going to teach you things that Christ hadn't taught you in Scripture. But he's going to help bring to mind all that Scripture has already taught you. Need to share the gospel with your neighbor? The Holy Spirit's there, helping you remember what sin is and what Christ did to save the world from it. Need to give a defense for the hope that you have? The Holy Spirit's there to remind you of your own sinfulness and the free gift of God, that is faith in Christ. This is the Holy Spirit that Christ gave to all believers at Pentecost. Pretty awesome. You see why I say we don't need to go around inventing things for the Holy Spirit to do. All of that is pretty awesome right there. And in our text for today, Jesus is teaching his disciples yet another thing that the Holy Spirit will do for believers when he sends that Holy Spirit from beside his Father's throne. That Holy Spirit will produce rivers of living water flowing out of each and every disciple of Christ. But before we get to that, first things first. Jesus invites everybody who is thirsty to come to him and drink. Need to deal with that. What does that mean? And that only makes sense. I mean, if you're thirsty, if you're dry, you're parched, rivers of living water aren't going to just flow out of you. And of course, we're not talking about actual water here. You know, the water's a metaphor. Otherwise, we'd be having a very soggy church service every Sunday, right? These are the jokes, folks. I know they're not very good. Now, Jesus makes this loud proclamation at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's very appropriate, his words here, when you consider what's being celebrated at this feast. The Feast of Tabernacles commemorates the time when the Jews were wandering the desert, living in tents, and waiting for the time when they would enter into the Promised Land. All of that is an extended historical metaphor of all of humanity wandering in the desert of sin and death, waiting for the Messiah to come and usher us into the Promised Land that is God's kingdom. But the really neat thing that happened during this feast happened on the very last day of it. On the last day of the feast, everyone gathered together for what you might call the last church service of the feast. And during that part of the service, the priest would take the sacramental wine and he would mix it with water in a large, ornate golden bowl. And he would take that water and wine and he would pour it into another large bowl. And that other large bowl, it was perforated with holes all around it, kind of like a really fancy pasta strainer, right? And he'd pour that water and wine into the perforated bowl, and when he did, it would split out into many different streams. And all of this was done to commemorate the rock at Meribah, when God provided water out of the rock, quenching the thirst of all the Israelites, preserving their lives, and proving himself to be the faithful God he always was. And so it's after this very moving and poignant ceremony that Jesus speaks the words in our text for today. It's as if he were saying to the crowd, oh, you're right, you're so right to commemorate this amazing act of God to preserve your lives. Now, if you think that's amazing, come to me and drink. Drink of the water of life. Drink of the water of everlasting life. Drink of the good news of the kingdom of God. It's the very same message Jesus gave when he reminded them that their fathers ate manna and died, but that he is the bread from heaven that they may partake of and never die. And to whom is this invitation given? All who are thirsty. All who are thirsty. Now, there's thirsty, and then there's thirsty. And then there's thirsty. Jesus, again, isn't inviting people who haven't had a drink in a while to come to him, right? Because he happened to have a camelback pouch of water on him. No, that's not the kind of thirsty he's talking about. But there's another kind of thirsty that Scripture talks about. If you go back to Job 15, 16 and other places, one of Job's buddies is describing mankind as being a people who drinks iniquity like water. Mankind, that's all of us. All of us in our natural state are just thirsty for sin. We love sin. We long to commit sin. We are thirsty for sin. We're parched for lack of it. And we would break every stone on earth if we only thought that our thirst for sin would be quenched there. Now we're getting closer to the kind of thirst that Jesus is talking about here. But a person who is thirsty for sin won't find relief in Christ. However, when broken and sin-sick mankind encounters the Word of God, when God's Word pronounces God's judgment of death and eternal suffering upon a person who drinks iniquity like water, that person should now rightly thirst for righteousness. It should produce a horrid and devastating thirst for righteousness in order to avoid the fires of God's judgment. That is the thirst that is satisfied in Christ. This is the thirst that Christ invited the woman at the well to quench with living water. Living water that would make it so that she would never thirst again. To all that would hear, he is offering the living water, which is the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, at this point, it's really tempting to believe that Jesus is offering a way for you to achieve righteousness. And by achieving righteousness, you will never thirst for it again. Or in other words, the water of life he was offering is some mystical ability to start obeying God's law so that you would never sin again. Be further from the truth. This is not the drink that Jesus is offering. If you come to Christ with some self-glorifying idea that faith in Christ means a new and unbridled adherence to God's law, you're going to be sorely disappointed. If you want a drink of Christ so that you can justify yourself in God's eyes by keeping the law, you will thirst again. With the sinful flesh that still clings to you, you're going to find out really quickly that you are not righteous at all. You will never be righteous, sinless, by looking at the thoughts you think and the actions you perform. Looking at your own behaviors will leave you as dry and parched as you ever were. Now, the water of life that Jesus is offering here is complete, total, utter sinlessness and righteousness. A righteousness that you don't achieve by the works that you do, but a righteousness that is imputed to you. It's an imputed righteousness, meaning that it doesn't come from you, but it is bestowed on you as a gift. In this great ledger sheet that is your life, it's as if every sinful, evil deed, thought, and word you've ever done is immediately removed and transferred to Christ's ledger. All the while, Christ's perfect righteousness, his perfect sinlessness, and all he did is transferred to your ledger. And what's more, while you possess this sinful faith in Christ, all future sins are immediately written down, not on your account, but on Christ's. So that in that day when you finally meet your Creator, he sees you as nothing but perfectly sinless, just as righteous as his very own son. That's the living water that Christ is inviting you to drink of. The gift of righteousness, even the righteousness of God, given to all who believe through faith alone in Christ alone. Believable? Well, actually, it kind of depends on who you ask. For those who are being saved in this way, it's not only believable, it is truth. For those who are perishing, it is foolishness. What's the difference? The Holy Spirit. For those who possess this faith, we have the Holy Spirit to thank. The one who came alongside the written and spoken gospel in order to create that faith in Christ Jesus. For those who are perishing, it's been the constant rejecting, the constant pushing away of the Holy Spirit that has left them in their sin. And that's what the last part of this sermon is going to deal with, the work of the Holy Spirit as it concerns people who don't yet believe. And actually, that's not maybe entirely the best way to sum up what I'm going to talk about. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in a believer as that person goes and brings that same gospel and that same Holy Spirit to others. You see, right after Jesus invites you to come to him and drink, he goes on to say that when you do, rivers of flowing water, of living water, will flow out of you. Rivers of living water will flow out of you. Now stop for a minute and consider just how miraculous that is right there. This isn't like the priest pouring a bowl of water and wine into a colander. And when one bowl's empty, the show's over. Colander's empty. Jesus is saying here that just one drink from him, just one drink of the everlasting life he offers you by faith, that one drink will become not just a cup that's overflowing, not just one creek or stream of living water flowing out, not even just one river pouring this water out toward others, but many rivers pouring this eternal life-giving water out in all directions, just swamping the people around you under their waves. Rivers of living water pouring out from you. This is what Jesus says the Holy Spirit will accomplish in you. You see, when you first take that drink, when faith first comes and you realize that in Christ you have complete forgiveness and perfect righteousness before God, that's the Holy Spirit speaking his truth into you through the truth of this gospel, creating faith in you. But that water doesn't just sit there comfortably like a little puddle in your soul. That same truth tells you that this wonderful news is meant to be spread far and wide, brought to and poured over your family, your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors, your enemies. That little drink of water bubbles up and becomes a powerful spring, pouring out rivers of life-giving water as you share this gospel to everyone who needs to hear it. Through the words of this gospel and the Holy Spirit that accompanies it, living water will just gush out of you. Just fire hose all the people around you. Now, if you're like me, you're probably sitting there wondering, okay, so why is it that I'm not fire hosing the gospel everywhere? Why don't I do that? Why am I not good at that? You know as well as I do that we all fall short in being this beautiful picture of rivers of living water flowing out of us. Why is that? Fear? Shyness? Maybe pride? Busyness? Apathy? Could be any number of reasons, but they all boil down to one common denominator, and this we've already talked about, the sinful flesh. The sinful flesh battles against the Holy Spirit at every turn. And it has no desire, it has no ability to do the work of God in bringing the life water of the gospel to the world. Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And now that we have identified the problem, we can all stop worrying about it. Stop worrying about it. For freedom, Christ has set you free. If your sinful flesh has prevented you from sharing the gospel in the past, forget about it. Right? That's covered by the blood of Christ. You are still a person indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You're still a person who's got 850,000 cubic feet per second of life-giving water flowing out of you. You're still that person. Just relax. See what tomorrow holds. After all, it's not up to you to find this water in yourself and make it flow. That's the Holy Spirit's job. If we're up to you or me, we get it wrong every time. But the Holy Spirit won't. It's his job to bring to mind everything Christ has already taught you. Let him do the heavy lifting. Sometimes it's just a matter of getting out of the way and simply being who that Holy Spirit has created you to be. What has he created you to be? The source of rivers of living water flowing out of you. This is what the early disciples knew as they went around Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Asia, Greece, Rome, and all the ends of the earth. And just look how quickly that early church spread. Just look how quickly numbers were added to those who were being saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is what you now know. As God continues to reach every last little corner of the earth through you. You, the vessel of his gospel and of God, the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful news. We thank you that you have promised your Holy Spirit to each and every one of us to be with us, in us, guiding us, teaching us, tutoring us, and protecting us. Lord, we thank you that that Spirit creates in us rivers, rivers of gospel that can just flow to everyone around us. And Lord, we pray that even as we become fearful, reluctant to share, that you would continue to pour that water out of us and help us to do exactly what you have called us to do and make those disciples of every nation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our last hymn today is hymn number 86 in your hymnals. Hymn number 86 is Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart. And please rise one last time as we sing this hymn together.
Teach my heart to cling.
Receive this benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Praise God.